We now turn to our resolutions. Here to present the report from the Resolutions Committee is the chair of our Resolutions Committee from Maryland, Sharon Maneki.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. I'm glad we had a fit break before we have the 16 resolutions. Resolution 2016-01 regarding the introduction of the Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act. Whereas the National Federation of the Blind, the oldest and largest organization of blind people in the United States, has made access to all aspects of educational experience for blind students a priority, and since 2013 has actively sought congressional support for digital accessibility legislation that will expand the circle of participation to fully include students who are blind or print disabled at institutions of higher education nationwide. And whereas the National Federation of the Blind has led efforts to bring about consensus among all relevant stakeholders to support such legislation by engaging in negotiations with the Association of American Publishers, the American Council on Education, EDUCAUSE, and the Software and Information Industry Association, while also seeking input from other disability organizations. And whereas these negotiations have culminated in the successful drafting of the Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education AIM High Act, which will authorize a purpose-based commission comprised of representatives from all relevant stakeholders, communities, to develop voluntary accessibility guidelines that will be beneficial to both developers and manufacturers of post-secondary electronic instructional materials and related technologies, as well as to the institutions that procure such materials and related technologies. And whereas the purpose-based commission will also develop an annotated list of existing national and international IT standards as an additional resource for institutions of higher education and companies that service the higher education market to provide information about the applicability of such standards in higher education settings. And whereas Congressman Phil Rowe from Tennessee's 1st Congressional District has recognized the importance of digital accessibility and has demonstrated a commitment to equal access by agreeing to promptly introduce the AIM High Act to the United States House of Representatives. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind Convention assembled this 4th day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization commend Congressman Phil Rowe of Tennessee's 1st Congressional District for recognizing the importance of digital accessibility by championing the Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act in the United States House of Representatives. And be it further resolved that this organization call upon the United States Congress to act swiftly to provide consideration and a floor vote to the Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act, thereby ensuring that blind and otherwise print disabled students are afforded the same educational benefits provided to non-disabled students so that they can live the lives they want. The committee recommends do pass.
It's been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-02 regarding space available travel for veterans.
Whereas the budget neutral space available program operated by the Air Mobility Command allows members of the active military, retirees, and others to fly on military aircraft if space is available. And whereas Congress recognized that servicemen and women who became disabled fighting to protect the homeland deserve the same benefits as retired members of the armed forces, and therefore classified anyone discharged from the service due to disability from a combat-related injury occurring after September 23, 1996, as medically retired. And whereas Congress failed to make this recategorization automatically retroactive to include disabled veterans discharged due to an injury occurring prior to September 23, 1996, thus preventing these heroes from participating in the Space Available program. And whereas the National Association of Blind Veterans, a division of the National Federation of the Blind, believes that all disabled veterans discharged from the military due to disability should be allowed to participate in the Space Available program. And whereas the House Committee on Armed Services staff met with the National Federation of the Blind in person and maintained an open line of communication while they crafted the National Defense Authorization Act. And whereas Chairman Mac Thornberry of Texas included H.R. 2264 in the House in the base House National Defense Authorization Act. And whereas on May 18, 2016, the United States House of Representatives passed the Fiscal Year 2017 National Defense Authorization Act. And whereas Senators Ayotte and Hirono fought for the inclusion of the Equal Access to Air Travel Bill S-2596 into the Senate National Defense Authorization Act. And whereas Senator Bob Dole wrote Senator McCain on multiple occasions urging him to allow all medically discharged veterans the right to participate in space available. And whereas Senators Heller and Tester offered a floor amendment, Senate Amendment 4235, to the National Defense Authorization Act, which would have included the same language from the House National Defense Authorization Act in the Senate version, to end the unequal treatment of disabled veterans based on when they were injured. And whereas the chairman of the Senate Committee on Armed Services, Senator McCain, and ranking member Reed refused to include S-2596 into the base bill and refused to allow a vote on the amendment or allow its inclusion in a manager's amendment. And whereas the House and Senate will appoint conferees later this year to conference and combine their respective bills into one. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization commend the chairman of the House Committee on Armed Services, Congressman Mac Thornberry, the House Committee on Armed Services staff, and Congressman Belarascus, Nugent, and Moulton, for their efforts to end the unequal treatment of medically discharged disabled veterans in the Space Available program based on the date they were injured. And be it further resolved that the National Federation of the Blind commend Senators Heller, Ayotte, Hirono, and Tester, as well as former Senator Bob Dole, for their efforts to include S-2596 in the National Defense Authorization Act. And be it further resolved that the National Federation of the Blind demand that the conference committee end the unequal treatment of our nation's blind or otherwise disabled veterans in the Space Available program by adopting the language in Section 1046 of the National Defense Authorization Act passed in the House.
The committee recommends to pass.
It's been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-03 regarding the Marrakesh Treaty. Whereas in June 2013, the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, convened a diplomatic conference in Marrakesh, Morocco, in order to deliberate on a treaty to address the book famine plaguing over 300 million blind, low vision, and print disabled people across the globe who are denied access to more than 95% of published works. And whereas the National Federation of the Blind was one of the key negotiators in Marrakesh, expressing strong support for the treaty, which was signed by the United States on October 2, 2013. And whereas after more than 2.5 years of subsequent deliberation and negotiation among the members of the United States Intergovernmental Working Group tasked with developing the Marrakesh Treaties, implementing legislation, President Barack Obama submitted the Marrakesh Treaty to facilitate access to published works for persons who are blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print disabled, ratification and implementation legislation packages to the United States Senate for its advice and consent on February 10th, 2016. And whereas, since its transmission to the United States Senate, 6 additional countries have succeeded in ratifying the treaty within their borders, bringing the total number of countries ratifying the Marrakesh Treaty to 20, and 20 are required to bring the treaty into force. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization call upon the United States Senate to fulfill its constitutional duty to provide its advice and consent for the Marrakesh Treaty to facilitate access to published works for persons who are blind, visually impaired, or otherwise print disabled without delay. And be it further resolved that this organization call upon all relevant stakeholders to make a good faith effort to encourage the United States Senate to consider the Marrakesh Treaty before the conclusion of the second session of the 114th Congress. The committee recommends to pass.
It's been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-04 regarding Apple's inadequate testing of software releases.
Whereas Apple Inc. has made VoiceOver, a free and powerful screen access program, an integral part of many of its products, including the Apple Macintosh, iPhone, iPod Touch, Apple TV, and iPad. And whereas when a significant software update for one of these products is released, there are often accessibility bugs that impact the usability of the product by blind users, causing them to lose their productivity or their ability to perform certain job duties when the use of Apple devices is required. And whereas recent updates have included a large number of serious, moderate, and minor bugs that have made it difficult or impossible for blind people to perform various tasks, such as answering calls, browsing the internet, entering text into forms, or adding individuals to the contact's favorites list. And whereas, for example, after iOS 9.0 was released, some iPhones running VoiceOver occasionally became unresponsive when getting a phone call, and there was no way to choose any option on screen. And whereas, although this issue was fixed in a new release of iOS, it would not have occurred if Apple had conducted more thorough testing with VoiceOver. And whereas, another example of inadequate testing by Apple involves VoiceOver failing to render the contents of the screen when a user attempts to add a contact to the favorites list in the phone app and has multiple contact groups from which to select. And whereas, because Apple products and its accessibility tools are built by the same company, there is no need to share confidential information with partners that may affect the normal development of the software. And whereas, we recognize the efforts made by Apple to inform developers about the accessibility features built into Apple products and encourage the company to keep working in that direction. However, several accessibility issues still appear with new software releases, even when they have been reported during beta testing. And whereas, it is vital that Apple give priority to addressing bugs that have had an impact on accessibility before releasing software updates. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July 2016 in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization call upon Apple to make non-visual access a major priority in its new and updated software by improving its testing of new releases to ensure that non-visual access is not limited or compromised. And be it further resolved that this organization call upon Apple to work actively to incorporate feedback from testers who use VoiceOver during the beta testing phase of software development to ensure that accessibility for blind individuals is properly and fully addressed.
The committee recommends to pass.
It's been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion?
Meadow, Ryan, this is Rich Cavalcaro.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We Ryan got Strunk. Dr. Schroeder.
Here's the mic.
Meadow.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know there are people who somehow think this resolution is slamming Apple. This isn't slamming them. It is reiterating how vital access is for us. Their product is an amazing product. We gave them a Bolotin Award in 2010. But we need to keep reinforcing the point. We heard a technology presentation yesterday where one of the presenters said that in the development world, your mindset is you get the product out the door fast and then you worry about the bugs. And he said with accessibility, they have to change that mindset. We're saying these products are vital in the lives of blind people. They need to be tested well. And that's really what this is about. The last thing I would say is, I actually heard somebody say, well, you know, maybe they'll just quit doing accessibility if we complain. Well, you know, I remember in the 90s when new technologies were coming along, many of the producers didn't put their instruction manuals in Braille. And we called them out on it and said, look, you're selling products to the blind. They need to have accessible manuals. Nobody said, but you know, they're going to get mad and quit making their products. This is a very reasonable, measured resolution, and I urge its adoption.
Ryan Strunk. Okay, I got
Meadow.
JJ, are you speaking for or against the
resolution? I'm speaking against.
Okay, go ahead.
As someone who is involved in user testing, I wanted to speak out on this because it's a gross mischaracterization of the user testing process for Apple. Every summer, including this past June, they released the next version, the public or the beta, for the next version of iOS, this being iOS 10. There is a 3-month testing process between then and the final release where virtually anybody, including all of our members, can submit bugs and feature requests. And not only can we submit bugs, we can submit them specifically to the accessibility people via email and via the bug trackers, specifically to accessibility and voiceover people. That's the type of access we dream of. We don't get this from most companies. We're banging down their doors just trying to figure out who to talk to get something simple for accessibility. And Apple is offering us a way to contact them and talk to them. Yes, there are bugs. Every software program has some bugs. But in iOS 9 alone, Apple has released over a half dozen software updates to fix accessibility bugs, many of them specific to accessibility, and an update mostly to fix voiceover bugs. If anything, Apple's model of user testing is one that should be emulated, not ridiculed. I urge you to vote no on this resolution. It's bad policy for this organization. Thank you.
Ryan Richard Caballero.
Rich, are you for or against the resolution?
I'm against.
Let's see if there's another proponent for.
Francisco, I'm for it.
Francisco?
My first iPhone was an iPhone 3GS. Today I have a 6 Plus. I had an iPhone 5. The MacBook Air I own today is my second Macintosh. The first iOS version I used was iOS 4. And in that version, the newest feature was touch typing. So I've been following the real evolution that Apple has done, the real progress that they've done with accessibility in their products since the iPhone 3GS was released. But since the release of iOS 7, which was one of the huge releases with lot of designs in there, with lots of changes in the design of the software, we've seen lots of bugs coming out, and the final versions of this software, they came with bugs that had been reported through the developer's website. This is unacceptable. They were aware of the report, and they let it go. And blind iPhone users were losing productivity when doing their jobs or just having fun. But they were losing productivity for bugs that Apple just did not want to fix to release the software at the time they promised the market to do it. So it is clear that I appreciate the great work that Apple has done, but it can be much better. I am speaking for the resolution. That's why I think the convention should pass it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Ryan Strunk.
Thank you.
Justin Hurd.
Justin Hurd.
I have Rich Caballero.
Ryan Strunk.
Go Rich.
Rich.
Rich Caballero.
Yeah, go next. Hi, everyone. I am definitely against this resolution. I have been a beta tester since the iOS 5 days, and you know, everybody in the Apple developer program, like JJ said, we do have time and a few months to report feedback. And yes, when iOS gets released, is it perfect? No, it's not. But what about when a new version of Android gets released? Is it perfect? Or Windows? No. There are bugs. Woo! And there are not only accessibility bugs, but there are bugs that the mainstream market sees. For example, there was a bug recently where they had to pull an update for the iPad Pro because it was breaking it during one of the iOS 9 patches. So I urge you all to really think about this. And we want to be equal. And, you know, Apple's doing a great job. And, you know, they will fix things. When stuff is reported to accessibilityapple.com, it is fixed. So thank you very much, everybody. I really
Justin
urge you to
Hurd,
think about this.
Justin Hurd.
Let's see.
Justin Hurd.
Hold on. Ryan Strunk, do you have something new to offer?
I do.
And are you speaking for or against the resolution?
I am speaking against.
Okay.
We have a number of companies that we know that release software, and they make this software with bugs in it, whether they are accessibility, it was just spoken of, or mainstream defects. And when I have spoken with some of our leaders over the past couple of days about this resolution, one of the things that they have said, and I want to offer Microsoft specifically, because I am working with Skype for Business, and I have a critical defect that makes it harder for me to do my job, a defect that has been on the books for the past year and has not been fixed. Now, when I have talked to our leaders about this, they have said to me, look, Microsoft understands now. They have gotten it. They come to us in Seattle and they say, we want to work with you. They're banging down our doors to find volunteers. And so they said, work with us. Hang on a second. Microsoft is turning the ship around. Now, Apple, I would say, has the ship going in the right direction already. They have software that they are releasing in iOS 10 that will enable developers to independently check their apps for accessibility defects, meaning we will get more accessibility every single time. But beyond that, one of our members, Jordan Castor, whom I know and think is incredibly bright, works for Apple. Jordan is a federationist, which means that Jordan is going to be at Apple working on our behalf, making sure that the things that are important to blind people are being taken care of. I have faith in Jordan. I have faith in our leadership. I have faith in Apple. Let's understand that this is the right thing. It is right to not pass this resolution, because Apple is already doing a great job. Can they be doing better? Yes. But we are working with them, and we are going to make sure these things work for us. Do not pass. Do not pass. Do not pass.
Justin Hurd. Justin Hurd from Georgia.
Hurd is strong.
Now, Justin, are you speaking for the resolution?
Hurd Justin Hurd from Georgia? Is
it Justin? Okay.
Yes, I'm against this resolution.
Okay, well, let's see if there's another proponent for the resolution.
Curtis Chong.
Okay, the one behind me is for
the resolution.
Curtis, you're for the resolution?
I'm speaking in favor
of
the resolution.
Okay, so I'm going to take Curtis, and then I'm going to see if folks want to vote. Go ahead, Curtis.
So I am a little concerned about the fact that as soon as anybody says anything mildly or which appears to be critical of Apple, that immediately we have a number of people getting up and say, don't you dare criticize Apple. I don't regard this resolution as a criticism. I regard this resolution as a statement of a problem that has manifested itself in the user community when new releases have come up, and calling upon the company, please, to just step it up a little, to improve so that some of these bugs don't get out before the release happens. Now, having said that, the Skype for Business issue, if you want to compare apples and oranges, as it were, that is a critical issue, and we should have passed a resolution urging Microsoft please to fix it. We passed a resolution a number of years ago urging Microsoft to do something about looking at how keyboard users use the computer, because we have to take so many more steps than mouse users do in order to get the same amount of work done, and they still haven't done that amount of work, but that doesn't mean we're not talking to, or it doesn't mean that we're engaging in war with, or whatever. What we're doing is highlighting a problem as users of a critical system, the iPhone, the iPad, which is becoming more and more a tool of employment in addition to leisure. And we're saying, Apple, please try to step up the priority a little bit so that these bugs don't make it out to the final release. That's all we're saying. We're not chastising. We're not attacking. We're just highlighting a problem and saying, please take care of it.
Justin Hurd.
Now, let me see how the convention feels. So we're going to take a vote. All those in favor of the resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against the resolution, please say aye. I have an opinion. Do you want to take a roll call?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a roll call for the delegates, please, to vote. If you're not a delegate, please don't yell out. Alabama. Yay! Alaska. Arizona, yes. Arkansas, yes. I know we got two different people. Is that Terry? Okay, thank you. California. Colorado. Connecticut.
That was a no.
Delaware. We have a technical difficulty. Hold on 1 second.
What was Colorado? Colorado's a yes. Connecticut was a no.
I was asked to repeat the votes. Colorado was a yes. Connecticut was a no. Delaware was a no. District of Columbia is a yes. Florida. Florida? Yes? Florida's a yes.
Is that Denise?
I just heard people yelling, I can't see.
Denise? Denise?
Denise is coming.
But that's Denise? We need the
Denise,
mic.
Denise, did you say no?
Florida said no. Georgia.
Why aren't the mics on? You gotta have the mics on. Right?
Georgia.
Is a no.
He
said turn
them on. Hawaii. Yes. Is a yes.
You got Georgia as a no?
Idaho.
Said no.
Illinois.
Yes.
Indiana.
Indiana, no.
Iowa.
No.
Kansas.
Kansas, yes.
Yes.
Kansas was a yes. Kentucky is a yes. Louisiana is a yes. Maine is a no. Maryland.
Yes.
Is a yes. Massachusetts. Is a yes. Michigan. Is a no. Minnesota. Minnesota. I heard a voice that I know didn't sound like the delegate.
Did you see Jennifer?
There we go. That's a no. Mississippi. I'm sorry. So Minnesota was a no. Mississippi is a no. Missouri is a yes. Montana was a yes. Nebraska is a yes. Nevada is a no. New Hampshire is a yes. New Jersey is yes. New Mexico is yes. New York is a yes. North Carolina is a no. North Dakota, no. Ohio is a yes. Oklahoma is a yes. Oregon is a no. Pennsylvania is a yes. Puerto Rico is a yes. Rhode Island is a yes. South Carolina is yes. South Dakota is yes. Tennessee is a yes. Texas. Is a no. Utah is a yes. Vermont is a no. Virginia is a yes. Washington is a yes. West Virginia is a yes. Wisconsin, yes, is a yes. And Wyoming. Wyoming abstains, apparently.
California, there we are. California would like to change its vote to yes.
Well, whether California changes its vote or not, there were 32 yes votes. The resolution passes. Back to you, Sharon.
Resolution 2016-05 regarding equal access for educational internships. Whereas educational internships are often a curricular requirement for graduation from a college or university, and whereas educational internships can provide graduates with invaluable experiences and training that enhance graduates' likelihood of being hired in their chosen career field, and whereas Titles II and III of the Americans with Disabilities Act prohibit colleges and universities from discrimination against disparate treatment of individuals with disabilities, and ultimately mandate the provision of equal access to opportunities for such persons. And whereas the Americans with Disabilities Act protection includes off-campus educational internships offered as a part of a school's program, services, and benefits. And whereas blind students regularly face discrimination by college internship coordinators who fail to coordinate auxiliary aides for off-campus internships and mistakenly believe that blindness will limit a student's ability to perform an internship. Now, therefore, be it resolved in convention assembled this fourth day of July 2016 in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization hereby condemn and deplore the actions of colleges and universities that have restricted blind students' participation in educational internships, required blind students to complete internships only with the assistance from sighted peers, or denied accommodations within these internships. And be it further resolved that we demand that colleges and universities implement procedures, train employees, and otherwise take active measures to ensure that educational internships are fully, equally, and independently accessible to blind students. The committee recommends do pass.
It's been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-06 regarding the release of accessible web regulations.
Whereas President Barack Obama called the release of web access regulations under Titles II and III of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, quote, the most important updates to the ADA since its original enactment, quote. And whereas the Department of Justice, DOJ, released an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, ANPRM, on July 26, 2010, putting the public on notice that DOJ intended to issue guidance to state and local governments, as well as places of public accommodation, on how to comply with web access requirements under the ADA. And whereas a proposed rule with respect to public entities covered by Title II of the ADA was submitted to the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, OIRA, on July 9, 2014, leading state and local governments and consumers to believe that much-needed guidance in the area of web accessibility was imminent. And whereas, subsequent to the release of the proposed Title II rule, and despite the need for guidance from DOJ and the rising number of lawsuits from around the nation, resulting from the absence of such guidance on how to comply with Titles II and III of the ADA, DOJ announced that it had decided to delay the release of regulations under Title III of the ADA, which governs places of public accommodation, until an unspecified date. And whereas on April 29, 2016, DOJ announced that it was also withdrawing the proposed Title II rule, thereby further delaying regulatory guidance on how to comply with web accessibility requirements for state and local governments. And whereas, while blind Americans remain unable to access many of the websites offering information, goods, and services that are available to the general public, DOJ has issued a supplemental advance notice of proposed rulemaking and requested further comments with respect to Title II regulations, propounding questions that have already been asked and answered since the ANPRM was first announced 6 years ago. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization condemn and deplore the Obama administration's repeated delayed tactics in issuing the much-needed guidance for public entities and public accommodations with respect to the information, goods, and services that they provide via the internet. And be it further resolved that we call upon the administration to release the regulations that will provide guidance on web accessibility as authorized under Titles II and III of the Americans with Disabilities Act without further delay. And be it further resolved that we urge all political and civic leaders to join with us in calling on this administration to fulfill the promise made and bring clarity to the accessibility of public information, commerce, and education in the 21st century.
The committee recommends do pass.
Been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-07 regarding MathML. Whereas MathML is increasingly used for coding and presentation of math web content, and whereas MathML can be interpreted by screen access technology, and whereas different access technology packages choose to implement and rely on different methods of interpreting MathML, and not all technologies even implement MathML. And whereas this inconsistency causes problems for web developers when developing accessible web content. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization encourage all access technology manufacturers to implement MathML support. And be it further resolved that we call on manufacturers to standardize the features of MathML that will be relied upon and the methods in which the content will be accessed so as to provide a consistent experience for users and web developers alike. The committee recommends do pass.
It's been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-08 regarding protecting the civil rights of blind parents.
Whereas protecting the rights of parents with disabilities is a notion that incredibly was rejected by the United States Supreme Court in the case of Buck versus Bell 274 U.S. 200, 1927, in which Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, quote, "It is better for all the world if instead of waiting to execute degenerate offspring for crime or to let them starve for their imbecility, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind," unquote. And whereas this insulting and unjustified view that people with disabilities, including blind people, are somehow manifestly unfit to be parents or otherwise to live the lives they want and to participate as members of society with all rights and privileges associated therewith, has too often continued to prevail in the courts even as we move further into the 21st century. And whereas this bias is reflected in matters involving adoption and guardianship and in contested child custody proceedings, because blind parents have been perceived by the courts, child protection agencies, guardians ad litem, hospital staff, and others as incapable of caring adequately for their children's needs, which has resulted in blind parents routinely being denied the right to be parents without unfair bias or unnecessary overreach by government entities. And whereas for most people, a fundamental aspect of living life to the fullest includes the joy of being a parent and sharing in the nurturing growth and development of a child. And whereas being a parent and raising children is a fundamental right which is protected under the Constitution of the United States of America by the First and Ninth Amendments thereto and under the 14th Amendment as applied to the states. And whereas in the case of blind parents, there is a need to protect this fundamental constitutional right, yet nearly 40 states have no laws at all to protect the right of blind citizens to be parents and raise their children without being fearful of discriminatory treatment or unnecessary inquiries of fitness solely based on blindness. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this 4th day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization call upon state legislatures across the nation to enact laws that establish procedural safeguards to protect the right of blind people to be parents and prohibit discriminatory presumptions of manifest unfitness solely because a parent or prospective parent happens to be blind. And be it further resolved that we urge state attorneys general in protecting the best interest of the child or children in each proceeding to use their good offices affirmatively to protect blind parents in every state against discrimination and bias based solely upon blindness, and to urge the courts, guardians ad litem, and officials of child protection agencies to base decisions about what is in the best interest of the child on issues regarding fitness to parent, not on blindness.
The committee recommends do pass.
Been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The resolution passes.
Yay. How about a door prize for halfway, Mr.
President?
All
right, halfway through.
We got a gift bag here with all kinds of stuff in it. We got popcorn balls and we have who's it tie and all kinds of things in here. Let's give that to Terry Wilcox of Iowa. Terry Wilcox, are you here? Right here, got her. Thank you.
Okay.
Resolution 2016-09 regarding accessibility of integrated development environments. Whereas development environments, in principle, offer an equal footing to sighted and blind developers. And whereas many integrated development environments, IDEs, are largely accessible to blind developers, as is the case with Microsoft's Visual Studio. And whereas many prominent IDEs and tools such as Sublime Text and the Arduino IDE remain closed to blind developers. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization strongly urge developers of integrated development environments and other development tools to build and expand their products with blind developers in mind. The committee recommends due pass.
It's been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, please say no. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-10 regarding the Randolph Shepard Act and its application to military dining facilities.
Whereas in 1974, Congress expanded that priority for blind persons to operate vending facilities on federal property under the Randolph Shepard Act by specifying that the priority applies to contracts for cafeterias, subsequently interpreted to include military dining halls. And whereas, as stated in the 2007 National Defense Authorization Act, Congress defined food service contracts to include, quote, full food services, mess attendant services, or services supporting the operation of all or any part of a military dining facility, quote. And whereas on June 7th, 2016, the Department of Defense issued proposed regulations which, if implemented, would disregard the law defining food service contracts and limit opportunities for the blind to contracts for dining hall management, rather than giving priority to the blind under food service contracts as defined in the 2007 National Defense Authorization Act and to all contracts pertaining to operation of cafeterias as specified in existing regulations of the Department of Education issued to implement the Randolph Shepard Act. And whereas the Randolph Shepard Act charges the United States Department of Education, not the Department of Defense, with prescribing regulations to assure that licensed blind persons are given priority in the operation of vending facilities and cafeterias on all federal property, stating unambiguously in the Randolph Shepard Act that any limitation on the placement or operation of a vending facility must be fully justified in writing to the Secretary of Education, who shall determine if such limitation is justified. And whereas the professed authority relied upon by the Department of Defense to promulgate regulations is merely a statement signed by the chairman of the committees on armed services of the Senate and the House of Representatives, respectively, and was never voted upon by Congress or any committee within Congress. And whereas by restricting the priority for the blind to contracts for food service management only, the proposed regulations would eventually replace approximately 45 blind vendors who now have military dining service contracts with contracts awarded to the Source America / Ability One program, a program that is being investigated by a federal grand jury for corruption, fraud, and failing to hire and maintain the number / percentage of disabled workers required by law. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization demand withdrawal of the Department of Defense proposed regulations pertaining to military dining services, recognizing that the currently effective regulations of the Department of Education pertaining to the award of cafeteria contracts supersede those of any other federal department, And be it further resolved that this organization insists that the Department of Education clearly instruct the Department of Defense that the Department of Education's regulations mean that a current non-blind operated contract for military dining services cannot be entered into or renewed unless a contract opportunity has been offered to the blind as provided by the Randolph Shepherd Act.
The committee recommends do pass.
Been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion?
Hartle.
Jesse Hartle.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple quick points on this resolution for those of you here to consider. The Randolph Shepherd vendors who are operating military dining facilities bring in a lot of money to your vocational rehabilitation services that are offered in your state. Blind vendors pay set asides to the state agency, which they use to help fund the program. Your VR agency can count that towards the federal match that they don't have to use on Randolph Shepherd. So if we lose military dining facilities and Randolph Shepherd, that is a direct impact on all other VR services that can be offered to blind people in your state. Secondly, the biggest beneficiary of this regulation will be Source America, who is the largest abuser of 14C certificates in the country today. They can taste this already. In Kansas, a Source America subsidiary filed a motion that a federal judge should withdraw an injunction based on the proposed rule alone. That the proposed rule was clear that these contracts should not go to Randolph Shepherd. Fellow Federationists, this rule must be defeated, and everyone in this room should take advantage of the opportunity to submit comments to the DOD to tell them that this rule is bad. And NABM, the National Association of Blind Merchants, has made it as easy as you can want. So I urge you to get together with NABM and find out how you can submit comments. I support the resolution.
Thanks. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-11 regarding the need for uniformity in the determination of eligibility for special education services. Whereas in 1966, the United States Congress recognized the importance of educating children with disabilities in the regular education classroom by amending the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965 to include Title VI, Aid to Handicapped Children, which provided grant funding for schools serving disabled students. And whereas in 1974, the United States Congress enacted the Education for All Handicapped Children Act, later renamed the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA, which expanded the initial grant funding and required public schools to allow students with disabilities to attend their institutions. And whereas 19 years ago, in 1997, the IDEA was amended and the implementing regulations issued pursuant to this amendment defined visual impairment, including blindness, to mean an impairment in vision that even with correction adversely affects a child's educational performance, and the term includes both partial sight and blindness, and subsequent amendments to the IDEA and its implementing regulations have retained this definition in its entirety. And whereas states are required by IDEA implementing regulations to determine whether a child is a child with a disability as defined by the statute. And whereas 23 states have created eligibility criteria in addition to those set forth in the federal definition of visual impairment, including blindness. And these additional eligibility criteria exclude some children who otherwise meet the federal definition from receiving special education services to which they are entitled under federal law and violate the state's duty to use the definitions issued pursuant to the IDEA to make eligibility determinations. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization call upon each state department of education to ensure that its special education regulations define the disability of visual impairment, including blindness, using the definition issued by the implementing regulations pursuant to the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and eliminate any additional eligibility criteria. And be it further resolved that this organization call upon the United States Department of Education Office of Special Education Programs to audit each state's definition of the disability of visual impairment, including blindness, to ensure that a child's eligibility for special education is not dependent upon that child's state of residence. The committee recommends due pass.
Been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, please say no. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-12 regarding autonomous vehicle technologies.
Whereas, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, NCSL, seven jurisdictions, California, Florida, Michigan, Nevada, North Dakota, Tennessee, and Washington, D.C., have enacted legislation related to the operation of autonomous vehicles since 2011. And whereas, while most states to date have not enacted autonomous vehicle legislation, NCSL statistics reveal that such legislation was introduced in six states in 2012, nine states in 2013, 12 states in 2014, and 16 states in 2015. And whereas recent congressional hearings and proceedings before the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, clearly indicate that the United States government also intends to consider potential legislation and regulations related to the design and operation of fully self-driving automobiles. And whereas the Honorable Anthony Fox, Secretary of the United States Department of Transportation, DOT, in an announcement made at the North American International Auto Show in January of 2016 in Detroit, Michigan, committed nearly $4 billion over the next 10 years to the development and adoption of safe vehicle automation and updated NHTSA's policy on autonomous vehicles to include plans during 2016 to propose guidance to industry on the safe operation of fully autonomous vehicles. And whereas proponents of autonomous vehicle technologies have testified at congressional hearings and administrative committee meetings, offered comments at public forums, and explained in the press how the advent of fully self-driving cars will be most beneficial to people with disabilities who are not now permitted to drive on our nation's roads and highways. And whereas, despite this advocacy by manufacturers and organizations that support the proliferation of autonomous vehicles, most autonomous vehicle technology being deployed today, ironically, is in fact not accessible to people with disabilities or to blind people. And whereas early intervention is absolutely necessary in the development and deployment of autonomous vehicle technology because the seven jurisdictions that have adopted autonomous vehicle legislation so far require that a licensed driver be present while the autonomous vehicle is in operation, which defeats the purpose of having a truly self-driving car in the first place. And whereas the National Federation of the Blind has done more to promote non-visual access to all types of technology, including the operation of motor vehicles, than any government entity, manufacturer, or advocacy organization promoting the proliferation of autonomous vehicles or the rights of people with disabilities. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization reaffirm its position as a stakeholder in the proliferation of fully self-driving cars, and be it further resolved that this organization urge the public, the private sector, as well as government entities at all levels, to work with the National Federation of the Blind to create non-visual accessibility standards for all technologies related to autonomous vehicles. And be it further resolved that this organization call upon national associations that support the proliferation of autonomous vehicles, as well as organizations promoting the rights of people with disabilities, to join with the National Federation of the Blind to advocate for non-visual accessibility in all autonomous vehicle technologies so that all people, including those who are blind, may benefit from these technologies.
The committee recommends to pass.
Been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-13 regarding Target. Whereas accessible websites allow blind and other disabled users a greater measure of independence and convenience than inaccessible websites, and offer the same convenience accorded to sighted users who do not wish to travel to brick and mortar locations. And whereas Target has formed a long-standing partnership with the National Federation of the Blind to ensure that its products and services are accessible to disabled customers, particularly those who are blind. And whereas Target has proven its commitment to creating websites and applications that conform to the leading industry standards for web accessibility, WCAG 2.0 Level AA. And whereas Target is the first organization to partner with the National Federation of the Blind in its strategic non-visual access partnership program. And whereas Target shows every indication of continuing its commitment to the accessibility of its services in the future. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization commend Target on the excellent quality of its website's accessibility and on its continued efforts to make its site and services fully usable and accessible for all users, both now and in the future. The committee recommends to pass.
Hold on a second. It's been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the resolution passes.
Resolution 2014 regarding the preservation of access to Nemeth code for mathematics.
All right, here we go. Whereas the Braille Authority of North America, BANA, passed a motion on November 12, 2012, adopting Unified English Braille to replace the current English Braille American edition in the United States, while maintaining the Nemeth Code for Mathematics and Science Notation, 1972 revision and published updates, the Music Braille Code 1997 and the IPA Braille Code 2008. And whereas BANA has issued, quote, provisional guidance for transcription using the Nemeth Code within UEB context, quote, which sets forth the minor changes needed to incorporate UEB as the literary component of mathematics and technical materials to replace the function formerly performed by the English Braille American Edition EBAE code. And whereas each state was tasked with creating a customized plan for implementation of UEB, and while all states have adopted UEB to replace EBAE as the literary Braille code for students in elementary and secondary schools, there is a split with regard to Braille code for technical materials, mathematics and science. And whereas this split has emerged because BANA has failed to confirm unequivocally its 2012 motion to retain Nemeth code for use in technical materials and now opines that it cannot, quote, reach consensus regarding the establishment of a single standard code for technical materials for Braille in the United States, quote, leaving the decision to use UEB or the Nemeth code within UEB context for technical materials up to each individual state. And whereas, while the majority of states, including textbook leaders California and Texas, are implementing the 2012 BANA resolution and retaining Nemeth code, a few states are deciding to reject portions of the 2012 BANA resolution and are adopting UEB for technical materials. And whereas there is no certification for the transcription of technical material into UEB technical materials, yet despite the lack of qualified certified transcribers, states choosing to utilize UEB for technical materials and the American Printing House for the Blind, APH, are producing curricular material in UEB for technical materials. And whereas the fundamental differences between Nemeth code and UEB for technical materials create time-consuming re-instruction for both students and teachers when switching between Nemeth code and UEB for technical materials, and producing the same curricular material in two different codes is an inefficient use of limited educational resources. And whereas the concurrent use of two different Braille codes for technical materials creates unnecessary barriers for students and teachers moving from one state to another, and also produces inefficiencies in the preparation of teachers of blind students by requiring the teaching of both codes in order to prepare all teachers properly to serve all blind students. And whereas the concurrent use of two different Braille codes for technical materials generates additional need for professional development of teachers of blind students, which unnecessarily reduces time available to keep up with technology and other emerging trends in the education of blind students. And whereas since 1952, the use of the Nemeth code in the United States has been beneficial to and supportive of blind students in the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math fields, the Nemeth code is more efficient than UEB for technical materials in terms of writing math at all instructional levels. And the Nemeth code is more efficient than UEB for technical materials in terms of using technology for writing math. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July 2016 in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization call upon the Braille Authority of North America to state unequivocally that the Nemeth code with the guidance for Nemeth in UEB context is the only standard for mathematics Braille in the United States, and be it further resolved that this organization call upon each state legislature, should BANA continue to neglect its duty to establish a single standard code for Braille technical materials in the United States, to require its State Department of Education to eliminate needless confusion and unnecessary cost by unequivocally adopting the Nemeth code for mathematics and science notation. With BANA's guidance for Nemeth in UEB context as the standard for Math Braille, and be it further resolved that this organization call upon each university preparation program to eliminate needless confusion and unnecessary cost by unequivocally adopting the Nemeth Code for Mathematics and Science Notation with BANA's guidance for Nemeth in UEB context as the standard for Math Braille.
The committee recommends do pass.
Been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion?
Powell.
Powell, are you speaking for or against?
I am speaking for the resolution.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that this is a very good and necessary resolution because this has caused confusion since 2012. I have met people at NFB and even non-NFB events who've been the victim of going to one state where Nemeth Code has been adopted and another state where they want them to use the UEB math. And unfortunately, this is a situation where the proverbial chickens have come on the roost on the whole UEB Nemeth debate. And I think the best thing to do, pass this resolution and force the Braille Authority in North America to support Nemeth, keep it consistent so blind students, both in the higher education and secondary education, can have one math and they can learn and live the lives they want ultimately. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion?
Yes. Yes.
You are?
Cricket Beidelman.
And Cricket, are you for or against the resolution?
I'm for it.
Okay, well, we've already heard one for. Is there someone that wanted to speak against the resolution? You got to be at a microphone. Although we'd love to hear from you, Cricket. We got someone that wants to speak against it here.
Okay.
And you are?
My name is Kyle Steinle. I am of Texas, and I myself have earned a Bachelor of Arts and Master of Arts degree in mathematics. Currently, I'm a doctoral student in mathematics and a teaching assistant at Texas Tech University, which when I know the Unified English Braille was created and was established and researched on it, I myself was a bit hesitant on using it for mathematics due to how I base my life around mathematics. But after I learned about it and then studied a little bit, I tried to implement it to myself after a year of study, where by the fall of 2014, I tried to implement it on myself, it made sense for mathematics of one code for all contexts, where it's not where the symbol's not going to change within context. Also remember, in 1991, Dr. Tim Cranmer and Dr. Abraham Nemeth urged the Braille Authority of North America to research and establish one code for all material, regardless whether it's mathematics or not. And then it goes to eventually then eight of the nations, including the United States, researched on that, which is Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and United States, United Kingdom, Ireland, South Africa, and Nigeria developed the Unified English Braille Code, which, again, Dr. Nemeth helped create in for this. I myself, when I implanted myself in the fall of 2014, it was a little bit confusing for about a month, but after using it for 2 months, I love using UEB for mathematics because it makes sense in the code and makes sense for it. Speed reading and reading things fast in mathematics does not happen whether you're sighted or blind, because you're reading it to understand the mathematical content for it. It's to understand the mathematics, not necessarily the Braille code. And for most mathematical textbooks, especially in higher education, are not just reading symbols and lines of equations. It's understanding more of a narrative dialogue to understand the concepts of mathematics, not just push around symbols on a piece of paper. And
lastly, I have studied using the Unified English Braille Code algebra, number theory, topology, and statistics, which I'm happy as after talking to Texas Tech, been arguing for a couple of years on it now, but they're willing to pay for professional transcribers to transcribe my textbooks for statistics, linear algebra, numerical analysis, and topology that I can study at my graduate level of mathematics. So I myself oppose this resolution, but I urge people to understand. I don't know how many people here in America have actually tried to use UEB for mathematics, which I suppose is hesitant, but now that I've used it, as other countries like Canada, for instance, when people have used it, they now prefer to use UEB over any other code for mathematics.
Thank you, Kyle.
Dave Hyde.
I'm going to take Cricket and then see how you guys feel. Cricket?
I firstly want to say that I respect everyone who has opinions on this subject, and I also want to make it very clear that I support this resolution. Coming from a student standpoint, I just want to quickly establish my credentials and say that I'm an academic perfectionist. I had a 5.0 weighted GPA in the spring semester of 2016, and I have explored UEB math. When I first got my BrailleSense, it was automatically put on UEB. I spent about 5 to 10 hours trying to put UEB math into the calculator. It did not work. And I have tried to study UEB math, and while yes, it does, it maybe makes sense, I also would like to ask, what about science? The Nemeth code is used for science, not just math. We have to think about all the areas of study that will be impacted by the use of UEB math. Therefore, I support this resolution because I have examined chemistry and the use of UEB math in chemistry. It is very convoluted, does not make sense. Therefore, I think that we should support this resolution.
Thank you, Cricket. Are you guys, is the convention ready to vote? Okay. All those in favor of the resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. I believe the ayes have it. The resolution passes.
Resolution 2016-15 regarding the right to access to exercise equipment and fitness facilities.
Whereas the fitness industry is on the rise with over 34,000 health clubs across the United States and with countless more hotels, universities, and workplaces offering consumers and employees access to fitness facilities. And whereas Title III of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, the Americans with Disability Act Accessibility Guidelines, and the United States Access Board Guidelines specific to sports facilities seek to provide guidance so that places of public accommodation, including standalone fitness facilities or fitness facilities in hotels, universities, or places of work, are approachable, functional, and usable by persons with disabilities in a safe, independent, and dignified manner, which includes their facility access, membership, and access to exercise equipment. And whereas the current Access Board standards are primarily focused on rendering the built environment accessible and say very little about accessibility of fitness equipment for people who are blind. And whereas the 2015 standard specification for universal design of fitness equipment for inclusive use by persons with functional limitations and impairments, created by ASTM International Subcommittee F08.30, an international standard-setting body, is designed to provide manufacturers the tools they need to produce accessible equipment, but does not provide purchasing guidance for fitness facilities. And whereas many fitness facilities contain equipment that must be operated with a flat screen, touch screen, or other technology that has not been made accessible to the blind, And whereas according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services publication, Healthy People 2020, and numerous other scholarly publications, individuals who are blind are twice as likely to be obese as individuals in the general population, leading to increased instances of heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, sleep apnea, certain site-specific cancers, and osteoarthritis. And whereas significantly limited access to fitness facilities due to inaccessible exercise equipment makes it increasingly difficult for individuals who are blind to meet the Surgeon General's recommendation of 150 minutes of moderate physical activity weekly to help reduce obesity and offset other negative health consequences. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of July, 2016, in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization strongly encourage health clubs, hotels, universities, workplace fitness facilities, and other fitness facilities open to the public to provide full and meaningful access on a non-visual basis to fitness and exercise equipment, thereby complying with the Americans with Disabilities Act, general prohibition on discrimination, and be it further resolved that we call upon fitness facilities to work directly with the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute and the National Federation of the Blind Sports and Recreation Division to ensure that exercise and fitness equipment is accessible to the blind. And be it further resolved that this organization, in an effort to provide clarity to those who operate fitness facilities regarding what their obligations are under the ADA, urge the United States Access Board to adopt clear and rigorous standards regarding accessible exercise and fitness equipment to ensure that all functions and controls of such equipment be made accessible on a non-visual basis so that the blind can use such equipment on an equal basis with the sighted.
The committee recommends to pass.
Been moved and seconded to pass this resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none.
Mason McLean, I'm sorry, there we go. The mic was turned around the wrong way.
Macy, are you for or against?
I am for this resolution, Mr. President. I would just like to say, why don't we take this resolution one step further? What about all of the DVDs that the trainers put out, like Bob Harper, Jillian Michaels, and many others, that we can use those to help us live healthier lives? Thank you very much.
Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. The ayes have it.
Mr. President, as we come to the last resolution, I want to thank all the authors and all the proponents. And I want to give a special round of applause to Marcia Dyer, who's been assisting with the reading up here. Resolution 2016-16 regarding the Technology Bill of Rights for Individuals with Diabetes. Whereas the National Federation of the Blind and the NFB Diabetes Action Network advocate for the rights of an ever-increasing population of blind and low-vision people with diabetes. And whereas the NFB Diabetes Action Network has created and adopted the following Technology Bill of Rights for Individuals with Diabetes and Vision Loss, which proclaims that all people with diabetes have a right to technology that is thoughtfully, collaboratively, and inclusively designed, and that we who have diabetes and are blind assert the following rights. 1, true independence. To manage our diabetes independently, with dignity and without requiring assistance from sighted individuals. 2, meaningful access. To access the same life-changing diabetes information, diagnostic tools, and treatments as are available to others. 3, identical devices. To benefit from the same, not inferior, antiquated, or less effective diabetes devices at the same time and price as are available to our sighted peers. 4, direct control. To operate these devices directly through flexible and inclusive non-visual and low-vision features, rather than relying upon smartphones or apps for access. 5, full participation. To participate fully in planning, pre-marketing testing, clinical trials, and evaluation of these technologies, their user interfaces, and related apps. And whereas low vision and blindness complicate diabetes self-care. And whereas for the past 30 years, diabetes technologies have failed to include essential usability features such as audio, high contrast, large print, that make independent diabetes self-care possible. And whereas increasingly powerful and life-changing diabetes devices are emerging, many with high-tech user interfaces, such as on-screen menus and touchscreens that create unintentional digital barriers that make the devices difficult to use without good vision. And whereas this lack of access disadvantages users with visual disabilities and causes serious health inequities. And whereas all diabetes devices can be designed to be fully accessible out of the box for little or no extra cost using existing technology. And whereas audio features are already enhancing functionality and user experience for all consumers in other technologies such as GPS systems, elevators, ATMs, and Google Maps, not just for blind or low vision consumers. And whereas in some products, simple tactile buttons and audible tones or vibrations may make devices fully accessible, while in other text-to-speech and Zoom features can make user interfaces more inclusive. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind Convention assembled this fourth day of July 2016 in the city of Orlando, Florida, that this organization adopt and affirm the Diabetes Action Network's Technology Bill of Rights for individuals with diabetes and vision loss. And be it further resolved that this organization pledge to work toward establishing and securing these important rights until all diabetes devices are fully accessible out of the box. And be it further resolved that this organization urge other diabetes advocates, technology developers, and federal policy makers to affirm these rights and join with us to work to end these unjust health inequities. The committee recommends do pass.
Been moved and seconded to pass the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. The resolution passes.